Hey there, welcome to the Envision podcast. My name is Karthik and I will be your host for today's episode. On this podcast, we bring together people who have a positive impact on the blind and visually impaired community from across the world and share their stories with you. With me today, I have Marnix. Marnix is someone who did not stop exploring his passion after realizing his vision was going down. He's the man behind Project EcoSophie, a Dutch podcast channel that brings together inspiring people who have a vision for making society more sustainable. We're also going to be talking to him about his other passions, such as skiing and so on. So let's find out more about Marnix in today's episode. Hello, Marnix. It's really nice to have you with us here today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hello. Thanks. Nice to be here.
So we always begin this podcast with asking about people's origin stories, you know, like where did they come from, their early days, and, you know, when did they first realize they, you know, lost their vision and how the world changed for them after that, right? So I wanted to ask you, can you tell us a little bit about your childhood years growing up? And, you know, was there a time when, you know, you lost your vision and you really had to, and then your world changed? How was that experience for you?
Yeah, well, I've been born in Utrecht and grew up in Bunnik, and a village next to in the neighborhood of Utrecht. I've lived there for 13 years, and after that, my parents moved to Eindhoven, and I've lived also there for 5 years. And when my students' time came in, I moved to Rotterdam to live on my own and explore life in a very interesting way. And for 2 years, I was living my life, enjoying life, drinking a lot of beers. I was in a fraternity, making a lot of friends, doing a lot of nice stuff. And at that moment, not in my first year, but in my second year, I also was a bit successful in my study. And then in the summer in 2014, 2 years after my after the beginning of my study, I saw a little mass in my left eye, and that was the beginning of an eye disease. At first, my left eye was I left the sight in my left eye, and my right eye followed up later on. So in September 2014, I was in hospital, and they said, well, you do have this and this. And I already knew this could happen for, I think, a year. In January 2015, I bought my first cane. So there was a total different life in a half year. And gives a lot of new challenges, at least.
And what was your, you know, biggest challenge post your vision loss, right? You did mention that you had a very active social life and you were doing really well with your studies. I want to understand what was the one thing that you felt was most challenging to you post that period, right? Or during that period, basically.
Well, there were different things. At first, my study, I was doing accountancy, and that's very, a lot of numbers, and you have to look left, right, up, down on the screen together or at the same time. And my sight was, I lost so much sight that looking at the screen, or watching at screen was very difficult. I have to zoom in at a very high level, and that was not workable anymore. So I started some trainings to learn not to to watch at the screen anymore, and do it with your sight, but to totally use the computer in an auditive way. And that was very interesting, because I heard some guy who was having the same eye disease as I, who was listening to a screen reader, and it was so fast I couldn't hear it, and it was amazing. And I thought, wow, it was 2 weeks after the day in hospital, and I thought, well, I'm thinking I'm getting handicapped, and he is doing things I couldn't do by myself. So I did a training for 40 hours to totally use the computer with and listening to it. And as I also said before the interview, I'm at the moment looking to a black screen, and it is very it gives me a lot more energy than only using the leftover of my sight. And that was interesting, but then you still have the numbers part for the accountancy. So I with the auditive way, you couldn't still see left, right at the same time. So I moved from accountancy to tax law. So you still do have the financial part of your study, but it's no more numbers over at all places. But it's inspired by the law, and the law is all flat text. And that's interesting because text without how do we say that? Imagines. How do I say that, Kartik?
What particular word are you talking about?
Photos or
images.
Images, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
So it's no text with images, and it's all very good to do with screen readers. So that was an interesting move, and I started studying again. So that's the and that was very successful because my I was I did 1 year to get in my new way of working, and the year after that I was studying faster and better than. All of the other students in my study, and that was I'm a bit proud of that to say this.
That's really inspiring, and it really is interesting to see that how technology has probably put you back on the track after about a year of moving around. And I wanted to understand at what point did skiing become a thing? I've seen some of your skiing videos, and it's really, really interesting, the way you go about it. So I want to understand, how did skiing become a passion? Was it after your studies, or was it something that you picked up during your studies? And to people listening to this podcast, there are a lot of people who are blinded, visually impaired people who listen to this podcast, and also people who are sighted who listen to this podcast as well. And they'd also like to know, how do you go about your training as well, right? So how did you get into skiing? That's my first question. And then once you've answered that, you can probably go into what your training regime is like. How do you train for this? And do you get some help? Walk us through how you go about it, right?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Skiing is one of my biggest passions in life, and I started skiing at my third life year. And when I was, I think, 11 till 13, I did also do some matches. For 2 times, I skied. I did. I was part of the Dutch national championships for youth. So that was very interesting. And then when you're 20 years old and you're losing your sight, I did have the question, could I ski anymore? And at a certain moment, we discovered the NVSV. That's the Dutch Association for Blind Skiing. And they did different travelings to Austria to ski with blind people. And what they are doing is they have all kind of people who are guiding you for free. So they are going a week to Austria to help you in skiing, and these are all people who are very passionate about skiing and are very good. So We started, and for the first day when I was in Austria, we were at the child department, a very I'm a good skier, so it was a bit concentrating to always do the black slopes and now being at the child part. And he said, well, maybe you can follow me. And he was skiing away, and at a bit, at a fraction of a second, I lost him. And I thought, wow, maybe this was it. And yeah, well, we didn't stop for sure at the first moments. So he said, well, we have to do it different. You're going to ski first, and I will ski after you. And I will ski behind you, and I will give you feedback. So he said left, right, left, right, and we didn't go very fast at the beginning, but the next days it was getting better, and it was much more skiing, and it was very interesting. It inspired me, and this was in May 2015, and started in September 2014. So In a few months, I was again able to ski again, and that was very fascinating and gave me a lot of motivation to also start my study again.
No, that's really interesting, and how a particular sport, picking up a sport, actually has helped you put a lot of things back on track, and it's really interesting to hear that. And you know, was skiing. Can we say was skiing one of the inspirations behind something like, you know, Project EcoSophie? Because I'm really, really interested to hear a little bit more about, you know, what Project EcoSophie is and what your podcast is about, and how did the inspiration for that happen? You know, was it the skiing out in nature, or what led to it, you know?
Well, I think being able to ski again was, did it for me. Gives me the vision, if this is possible, then everything is possible. And I think 1.5 year later, I was in an internship, and that wasn't a good way for me. So it was very practical, and it was difficult. So I was thinking again, and I started at that moment thinking about value creation. That was very interesting, because in the skiing part, someone was helping me for free to make a very purposeful experience, and that's very interesting. And if I was in my own life creating only financial value and not value for society, those were two very different aspects. So I started thinking, how can we go to a system which creates societal value and not only financial value. And I started thinking by this by social enterprises, and that was an interesting part for my study, because these are companies who are creating societal value but are using a business case, and that's totally different. Now I'm losing the word for what's a company who's doing good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're talking about companies that do business as well as do good, right?
Yeah.
So companies that are selling things, but then they're selling things that help people or the planet in some way directly, right? So that's what you're talking about.
But I was looking for the word.
Impact?
No, it's the Bill and Melinda Gates. Oh, foundation. That's it.
Foundation. Okay.
Well, I will restart my story. So
Yeah.
that's totally different from a foundation, because a foundation needs money from someone who has earned it in a company. And these are companies who are creating well, who are doing good, and also making business. And that was a very interesting start, but we are facing a lot of problems in this world. We do have these sustainable development goals. So we do have to do a lot of things. And at a certain moment, I thought, well, with only social enterprises, we're not going to make it. And then I thought, I think we have to balance economy, ecology, and philosophy. And that's why I started Project Ecosophy, to interview people in a podcast like this, to ask what we do have to do to make this transition.
Interesting. And can you talk a bit more about what kind of topics really interest you with Project Ecosophy, right? Because you mentioned ecology, philosophy, and economics. Can you tell us a bit more about, say, for example, what kind of topics would you like to discuss, or that you think is interesting to discuss on a podcast like that?
Well, I think sustainability is much more than climate change. I think sustainability is about meeting the needs for this generation without that's the Brundtland definition, without a damage for the next generations. I think climate change is a risk about this, and there are a lot of other risks. So you do have biodiversity loss, water scarcity, and all that kind of ecology stuff. But also the pandemic, where what we are facing today is a big risk to our freedom, and all kind of stories who are facing this kind of stuff. I like so. I make we did have the Dutch elections in March, and I've made a series with all kind of people who are interested in political ideologies. So I make an episode about the social democracy, about the liberalism, and all kind. So that were 8 episodes about political philosophy. And yeah, I really liked it, but also practical things, like an interview with the guy who is in charge for Tony Schiavone or some other companies, and also CEOs. So I spoke also to the CEO, the old CEO of Unilever, Paul Polman, with his very inspiring vision about sustainable leadership.
Interesting. And you know, just before this podcast, started, you told me a small thing about writing a book, right? And I know it's still in the very early stages. I know it's still something that you're working on. But do you want to tell us what it is about? Is it about your experiences, or is it about a specific topic? And what really started this whole journey of wanting to write a book, right? Because it's an amazing thing. It's a really big deal, and it's something that I would like to do someday in my life. So I want to understand, what the book would be about, and how did that journey start,
Well, it was interesting. Last summer, I was drinking some coffee with a guy I know, and he is the day of 10 years older than I am. So he is 37, and he was going to be father. And he said, well, it's interesting, but I'm going to be father. And then in the future, there has also be a nice world for my son. So he said, well, I could be planting some trees to leave this world in a safe place, but that's not where my qualities are. And he said, I'm a writer, so I will started writing a book about sustainable leadership. And we are talking about this idea, and at a certain moment he said, well, why don't you join me? Because you have the very interesting in people, all those people, who are you talking to? And I said, well, there's a very interesting challenge and opportunity for me. So we started thinking about this book. And the idea is he will be more writing about leadership and sustainable leadership. And I will be more writing about what is sustainability and why is sustainability so important for companies. And how can you create true value, a bigger value than only financial value as company, so you will be worth as something worth.
Interesting. And I think, yeah, this is one of the biggest sort of challenges that we as a whole planet face, right? Like, how can we keep making progress and keep improving the lives of people at the same time to try and make sure that, you know, we don't do irreversible damage to the planet. And it's something that that's going to be, I think, the biggest challenge of our generation, right? And I'm super, super excited, you know, to read the book that you're going to be writing and to go ahead and, you know, also share it with the listeners of the podcast when it's out. So we'll definitely do that.
Yeah. Well, there's one episode in English because Ecosphy is a Dutch podcast. But the one with Paul Polman, the former CEO of Unilever, is in English. So that could be interesting for listeners to this podcast.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, we definitely give a shout out to that particular episode in the description of the podcast. We've come to the end of the recording, and I have one question that I always ask all the guests that we have on this podcast, right? So if you have to tell our listeners, like, your motto in life, and if there's one thing that you'd like to tell our listeners about how to live or how you, you know, deal with things in life, what would that be, Marnix? What's your mantra?
Well, I think you have to believe that there's an infinite amount of possibilities, and that means not that we both have the self the same possibilities. When I lost my vision, I lost a lot of possibilities. But if you believe that there is an infinity amount of possibilities, infinity minus one is still infinity. So I think you have to look at all the possibilities there are. And in the room I'm sitting, there is a piano. So I started playing the piano when I lost my sight. I was able to start a podcast because that's a very good thing to do if you're not if you are practically blind. So all those things, I think you have to focus on the things that are possible, and if you focus on these aspects, you will be getting good and building some quality about this aspects. So yeah, that's, I think, the tip I should give to other people. And yeah, well, it could be very difficult, and yeah, that is, but there are always possibilities to do interesting things in life.
Yeah, no, that is super optimistic, you know, like the fact that you're saying that every day has infinite possibilities, and all you have to do is go out and seize those possibilities and to make them happen. That's a really, really cool thing. So thank you so much, Marnix, for joining us today. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the episode, and we really wish you the best of luck with the book and the podcast and everything that you're doing in life. And thank you, everyone else, for listening in to this episode of the Envision podcast. We will be back very soon with another episode with another really interesting person. So until then, be safe and stay healthy. And yeah, see you all.